CTV.
This is Martin Zender from the Laundry Room, and I'm going to talk about a weird passage of scripture that I have really not figured out. Until now, of course, I wouldn't be turning on the camera if I hadn't figured it out. But it has caused me much puzzlement over the years, and I really haven't tried that hard. It has been one of those things where I just kind of keep it at arm's length, and I say to myself, I'll get to that one of these days. Well, that day, the day of sharing it has arrived, but I did figure it out. I can't really tell you why or how I will be. Well, I just can't tell you why or how. But I am going to tell you the passage. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul doesn't waste any time with the Corinthians. He goes right into them. Because we know that one of the flaws of the Corinthians is they were sectarian. And here it is in verse 12. Start with verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For it was made evident to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe. Oh, those of Chloe told on the Corinthians. So now they knew who to blame. After Paul admonishes them, they probably turn around and go, Chloe, thanks. Anyway, it was made evident to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe, that there are strifes among you. See? They're being tattled upon by those of Chloe. I wonder what Chloe means in the Greek. Let's do a live Bible study. Because we know, of course, names have meaning. C-H-L-O-E. Sometimes you get it in the concordant version. Sometimes you don't. C-H-L-O-E. It means tattletale. No, I wish it did. Chloe. Green. What? I don't have my glasses on here, but I believe that the Greek element of the name Chloe is green. I think I'm starting to understand this. Yes, I got it. Chloe was jealous. Chloe was jealous. Chloe was probably the most sectarian of all the Corinthians. And Chloe was jealous that the other Corinthians had probably more of an in with Paul. And so Chloe sought to sabotage her. I think it's a female. Her brothers and sisters, by tattling on them. Here's how it went. Those of Chloe have told me there are strifes among you. Now I'm saying this, that each of you is saying, I indeed am of Paul, yet I of Apollos, yet I of Cephas, that's Peter, yet I of Christ. And that's the end of the quotes from these people. I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. But the curious thing to me is always, I am of Christ. I'm thinking, what's wrong with that? There's something wrong with that. Paul comes off the quote to say, Christ is parted. Not Paul was crucified for your sakes, or into the name of Paul are you baptized? There are very few people today who would turn away being the object of sectarianism. For instance, people like it when they are credited or when someone says, I am of Martin Zender. Oh, I am of A.E. Nock. I am of Clyde Pilkington. I am of. By doing this, Christ is parted. Now, what you can say is, I like what Martin says there on this topic. I like what Clyde says over here. I like what A.E. Nock has to say about this compared to Martin Zender. I prefer this to that. But to say I am of, there comes to be, in that case, a division. I've been accused in the past of being a cult leader, of being someone that people divide around. No, I am merely a teacher in the ecclesia. I am a leader of sorts. Yes, I encourage people. I strengthen people. I try to encourage people. I try to bring more people into the faith. I'm an evangelist, but no one is of me, nor should they be. But here's the weird thing. They shouldn't even say, I am of Christ. Paul goes on to give the reason for not being sectarian, especially mentioning his name. Not Paul was crucified for your sakes. So yeah, we can see why someone wouldn't want to say, I am of Paul. Paul would be appalled by that. Was Paul crucified for your sakes? If someone says, I'm of Martin Zender, I would say, was Martin Zender crucified for your sakes? And then the correction you would think would be made then, where that person would then say, oh, no, I'm just kidding. I am of Christ. But Paul is even chiding them for that. What is so wrong with saying, I am of Christ? Yet, Paul's lumping them in the same category here. Is it possible that being of Christ could be sectarian? How? How in the world could that be sectarian? I think it's this way. I was raised in the Catholic Church. And in the Catholic Church, there were nuns. Yes, I survived the era of the nuns in private school. I went to a Catholic school, it was a private school, and I was taught by lay teachers and by nuns. And I was told that these nuns, I thought they were all kind of pretty weird, except my first grade. In first grade, I had a wonderful nun. And in seventh grade, I had a wonderful nun. The nun in seventh grade, I forget her name, but she could really sing well. She taught our music class, and she would do these solos. And I mean, this lady could sing. I couldn't really tell that she was attractive because she had that wimple. But I tell you what, she sang like a mockingbird. Is that good? Hummingbird? I don't know. Well, come to find out, a couple years later, she quit the nunhood to become a Las Vegas lounge singer. Sister Lorena, just remembered her name, Sister Lorena, became a lounge singer in Las Vegas. So at least she found a noble profession. She quit the cult of Catholicism, used her talents. And here's the problem with the nuns, is the nuns said to me, well, the first reason why the nuns were weird is because they couldn't marry. They weren't allowed to get married, neither were the priests. We know what the priests do, because they don't get married. Yeah, we know about that. What do the nuns do? Because they don't get married. What do? They marry Jesus. They marry Jesus. In other words, these nuns, this is my theory now, and I apologize if there are any nuns. Actually, no, I don't apologize. I hope there are nuns listening to me right now, because I, Martin Zender, can be of help. I don't want you to say you're of Martin Zender, but you can say that Martin Zender saved me from nunnery. And here's how he did it. My nun friends, you are created by God to enjoy the love of a man. And I fear that many of you have chosen the life of the convent because you couldn't make it in the real world. You couldn't find a man because maybe you're homely, maybe you were raised by weird parents who made you pray all the time, made you think constantly about every single move you made, and maybe you just didn't fit in because of your weird parents. You didn't fit in school. You felt like an outcast. You felt like none of the boys liked you. You tried to get them to like you. You know, you wore your little black patent leather shoes with your white frilly socks, but for some reason it didn't work. I say you just didn't try hard enough. Maybe pigtails, I don't know. Something went wrong for you. And you decide to marry Jesus because you just couldn't make it. Jesus wasn't your first choice of a husband because he's a pretty dang lousy husband, if you ask me. I always wondered what happened over there at the convent. You looked over there at the convent, it's like the nuns lived there. What the hell do they do over there? Seriously. They married Jesus. What? They married Jesus. But when I was a kid, I asked these questions. Jesus isn't around, is he? No. Like, am I missing something? Is Jesus over there? Jesus doing something with these women? No. Okay, then why? How do they marry Jesus? I think that this is part of the I am of Christ. It is, I know you seem like, you're probably saying that's a long way to get around to that, Martin. Well, wait till I tell you about Maria in The Sound of Music. Same situation. In fact, I should just tell you about her now. Maria was starting to fall in love with Captain Von Trapp. And Captain Von Trapp, he was quite the handsome gentleman. He had all those kids. And she started spending time with him, and she blushed in his presence. Who? Captain Von Trapp, especially. When they danced that Austrian dance. Some Austrian dance. Oh, he was dashing. He put on his white gloves. Doom. And he took her in his arms. Oh wait, no, that's not. That's a South American thing. That's not the lentil, the lentler, whatever the name of that dance is. Anyway, she got so flustered, she went running back to the Mother Superior at the Abbey. I'm ready to take my vows. I can't handle it. Mother Superior said, "What happened? Why did you come back here? Were they unkind to you?" "Oh no, Mother Superior, nothing like that." And then she asked a question about Captain Von Trapp. "Was it Captain Von Trapp?" Immediately, Maria blushes. And then she knew. Mother Superior, she's been around the block. Oh yeah, she had some boyfriends in the past. Blew it with all of them. Ended up at the convent herself, looking like an asexual creature from the Star Wars cantina scene. And so Mother Superior understood very well. Maria was using the convent to run away from life. Using the convent to run away from real life. Couldn't handle it, so now she's going to be of Christ. I'm of Christ. Christ then becomes Maria's club, becomes Maria's boyfriend, Maria's husband. How do you solve a problem like Maria? And Mother Superior would not have it. Climb every mountain, ford every stream. That's the Cowardly Lion's imitation of Mother Superior. But anyway, Mother Superior's not having it. Says, you will not be of, see, it's of Christ. You're of Christ. Christ is more of a crutch. Christians are sometimes mocked because people say you are using Christ as a crutch. And they have a point there. Not that Christ is a crutch, but if Christ is a crutch, crutch. If Christ is a crutch, then you are of Christ. That's what Paul's looking down on. You are of Christ if Christ is your crutch. If you're going to Christ as a substitute husband, as a substitute social life, as something that's lacking in yourself, that's not the basic lack. I mean, yes, we all have a basic lack, and it is the need for God. Christ satisfies that, yes, but I'm not talking about that. That's normal. I'm talking about a social void. I'm talking about someone who cannot find acceptance even with themselves, and they have this invisible friend. In a way, Jesus is an invisible friend. See, I am kind of struggling to wonder why I am of Christ is no good. Why is that no good? And I think what I'm striving to explain is something that's the opposite of to live as Christ. You see, Christ, don't I say this to you often? Haven't I said this to you many times? To live as Christ? That's the ultimate thing here. That's what we're looking for. So it's not a separation of life from Christ, right? To live is Christ. So whether we live or whether we die, whether we're happy, whether we're sad, whether we're married, whether we're not married, whether we're having sex, whether we're not having sex, whatever your situation in life, to live is Christ. But to some people, they use, in that case, Christ isn't a crutch. You see, Christ isn't a crutch. That's like saying breathing is a crutch, or your heartbeat is a crutch, or eating breakfast is a crutch, lunch and dinner. No, you do this stuff. How could it be a crutch? Breathing is a crutch? No. So Christ, to us, is not a crutch. He's life itself. But to some people, it's almost like a codependent thing where they're unfulfilled by life, and so they use, maybe that's it. They use Christ. Yes, maybe that's it. They use Christ. And in that way, someone can be of Christ. When I first saw the movie Jesus Christ Superstar, I thought it was so cool. I liked the beginning of it. They're all arriving on the scene, and I thought, this is cool. It's cool to be a Christian. It's cool to love Jesus Christ. See, I was of Christ. Christ became a sect to me that I could belong to. There's another key. I'm getting it as I go, right in front of you. Christ could potentially be a sect that you belong to. A Christian. Oh, there it is. Oh, God, it's coming. It's coming to me now. A Christian is of Christ because they belong to a sect. It's an organization that fulfills some need, some social need. See, it's not life. It's not like to live as Christ. It's not that. It's a sectarian. I'm of Jesus. See, people who wear the cross, I'm of Jesus. I'm of Christ. I'm of Christ, right? It's not their life. It's a thing they have to enhance their life. Wow, it's coming even more. To be of Christ is a thing you have. Christ is a thing you have. Something you put around your neck, something you go to, something you take a vow to, something that substitutes for a normal relationship. All these things are evidence of an of Christness, which I am contrasting with to live as Christ. Do you get the difference there? Yes, it's not Christ as a club. That would be, I am of Christ. I belong to the club of Christ. I belong to the Christ club. I'm a Christian. That is, I am of Christ. Paul says, no, in a way, you're dividing Christ. Yeah, in a way, it's like you have your life over here and Jesus Christ's life is over there. You import him because you need him. He's your co-pilot. Yeah. Co-pilot? Co-pilot. No. Let that be an explanation to you.